Blog Talk Radio.
Incantation 6 to clear the mind. Savech biraspi melakrut nenachvi subatu pliheresh esenuch diravat estuhit melsenur esevech ublavi. Clear your mind of confusion's cause, that clarity returns, say these words. Whether confusion results from an external source, or whether from distorted emotions that are yours. As you say these words, you must feel a wave of energy originating from the pineal. Let it travel from head to feet. Three times as this incantation you repeat. Good evening and welcome to your show, A Life of Miracles. I'm Sandra Saradisi, and we just have read from the Book of Spells from our beloved Almin. Welcome, my angel, Denise O'Regan.
Thank you, Sandra. Great to be here tonight with everyone.
It feels very appropriate to read this spell to clear the mind from absolutely everything, as external as internal, that would not allow us to see clear, to be in our center, to be in our core, to live impeccably as gods and goddesses. That we have been created to shine our luminous light.
Yeah, I love doing that one. And then I usually start with that one, and then I do the one next to it for the abundant flow.
Yes, I noticed you cannot close your wallet anymore to accumulate wealth.
Yes, we are aligned with the abundant flow of resources. So, yeah, I love those two spells. And I would actually love to do the one right now with the fairies to find things lost.
Just because there was a little item missing
in the cosmos. So that I would really, really love to have returned.
You know, my father used to say, and I remember since I was young, he says, nothing gets lost. It just changes owner. So,
yes.
You know, she's found a new owner, but we're still calling these items for you. So my heart is with you, sister, anytime.
Okay. So we have the beautiful fairy spell to find what you lost. Varskvenit Velesvara Uvraba. Erkna Hulhish Virs Kelispa. Mir Nadael Skal Hubret Utba Urs. Tre Ukva El Sarubish Nadvat Berestru. Kla Uve Please Hatvra Ernabet. Find what you lost, call it to you. By these words, it shall find its way back to you. Call why you see the image you seek. Your voice shall call it by the words you speak. Thank you, fairies, for your help. And
this is a very beautiful how the tones and the vibration and our intention all together can create a new reality.
Yeah, and you just actually reminded me when during that spell on the cruise, one of our brothers had lost his misplaced his passport and all his, you know, valuable documents, and like had searched everywhere in his cabin, couldn't find it, and then did this spell. Spell, and immediately they appeared. So we know it works, and we're trust that all items lost will be found, because as you said, there's nothing really lost.
Nothing.
So they will appear. Yeah. Wonderful.
And, you know, it is so important to continue the incredible work that Amin has given us to do. Such as, you know, we were speaking earlier and you were talking about how the 12 meridians affect our reality.
Yes. Yeah, I was listening to Amin talk about the runes, actually. And in the introduction to the runes, which was on the I Am Presence, one of the things she talked about is how important it is to clear the 12 main meridians plus the 8, the extraordinary meridians as well. How important it is to clear those for the flow of information to take place. And what else did I say? I know there was something brilliant in there.
That the twelve meridians allow us to create a new reality, wasn't that? Well, the clearing of the 12 meridians with the meridians, the acupressure points accompanied by the oils.
Yeah.
They release, or as we know, the perceived negative emotions, and they open up. They open us up to live as gods and goddesses.
But there was something specific that she said that I hadn't heard before that stuck with me, and for some reason now it's not coming to my mind.
Well, it will come back. I know it will. I'm trying to think about it.
It was brilliant. It was like, oh, I mean, I had not heard that before about clearing the 12 meridians and what it did. But it was related to the runes and being a master of the runes. Now I'll have to go back and listen to it and
we're going to have
share
to post
it
or something.
Yes, I'll post it. Because it was you know, just one line that really stuck, like really hit
something
a chord.
Here.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and
it'll come.
This is truly must be our focus. It's how we can change our reality, and as we have spoken about many times, you know, we change it within, it changes without, and it's all, and we are going beyond that with the Book of Runes and with the runes themselves, the 672 runes corresponding to our inner senses. So that's like a bridge between our inner and outer, and how we have only lived from our external, from our masculine. So our feminine, our receptive pole has been like in stasis per se. So it's time to bring. And we will be truly creating a new reality. We have all the tools to have a new reality and not being touched by the madness of the world.
Well, you know, my love, I was reading it from the Book of Spells about the different stages of magic, right? We have the first ring, the second ring,
yes,
and the third ring. And the first ring essentially is, you know, can be considered black magic. The second ring is where, you know, we, as you said, whatever is outside, we change within us and it changes without. And then the third ring magic, it's exposing the infinite perfection and knowing that really everything is just an extension of ourselves. So whether it's, you know, we're experiencing, you know, a magical sunrise that's, you know, incredible, coming up over the, you know, the mountains, it's still us. Or if it's, you know, demons in the underworld, it's still an aspect of ourselves that, you know, we find the infinite perfection and it changes indirectly. It changes.
Yeah.
So I think, you know, to keep in mind on this endless eternal journey that we're on, this amazing magical adventure, that we have the power to change anything that, you know, if we're not happy with it, or, you know, rather than, you know, what is it you want to create, what is it we want to, you know, emphasize in our environment,
yeah,
and to let that be our inspiration.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I don't think you know, but I was just on Almin's diary, and there is a posting, which is a Q&A, and of what happened to me, with more details from Almin, which is like absolutely brilliant, and it's truly, you have given me the segue for. There is a question here that was given. How could a demon have gotten the best of someone in such mastery? This is a question. Because
good
as
question.
Many. Yes, yeah. There's a question here, and I'll mean response. So I just want to say for those that are listening, our life family that is tuning in and haven't been aware of a posting. I think it was a couple of days ago. It's in the diary, and it's also on the Facebook about what happened to me. It's titled, and it's about Almin's condition and what really went on behind the scenes. So there is the topic of demons. surface, and it was, you know, we had to, you, I, and I, as I'm sure many of our beloved sisters and brothers are also going deeper with this situation, this event, that it's only here to inspire us to a higher living.
Yeah.
It is not here to do anything else but show us that place where we haven't been before. That's what I feel, and it's exactly the answer that you're talking about. So, because Almin is talking about the possibility of some demons have come up from the underworld, and they're fatal if you see them. Blah blah blah. Anyway. Here the question is, how could a demon have gotten the best of someone in such mastery? And Almin's answer, which is in AlminDiary.com, you can look it up on the posting of February 26th of today. And Almin says, we only become vulnerable to demons when we don't get rid of our inner demons. A demon is a part where we live at a lower level than our highest perception. At the end of November, I allow myself to become very discouraged and saddened by an unusual number of accusations and other unfair and disrespectful messages, and I lost my enthusiasm to share this wonderful truth. There were also several instances where students demonstrated that they only live the teachings when it suits them. I knew in my heart that to allow others to affect me so was a mistake, but I was too exhausted to do my usual self-work. This made me vulnerable.
Wow.
And prior to that, Ronnie is really saying that it's a miracle that Almin is still alive,
mm-hmm.
and we should be grateful for, because it's something that this kind of stroke is normally fatal, is saying here. So the fact that she is in full recovery, and it, you know, even though we don't know how long it's gonna take, but that doesn't really matter. The point is that what she's really showing us is that when we don't overcome our demons or our fears, then we truly become vulnerable, which is really interesting. You know, as I'm speaking, I can see like humanity always trying to be strong and don't go into their feelings, so they really ignore their weaknesses or their demons, whatever word we want to use, and by doing that they become vulnerable, and that's why they have to, you know, they have to cover up with addictions all these weaknesses in order to cope with the thing called life.
Well, you know, I think it's important not to judge. I mean, addictions serve a purpose or they wouldn't be there.
Yeah,
but,
totally.
You know, and really, if we want to evolve humanity, I mean, you know, really, we can only change ourselves and gain the perceptions, you know, within our own being to, you know, live a peaceful, joyful, happy life on Earth. You know, like, I think humanity is awakening and evolving, you know, as we all are, as we change, humanity changes. But, you know, I think for, you know, when I think about how much Almin has suffered, you know, it does break my heart. And, you know, whatever part I've played in this to create it, like, you know, truly, I want to clear that within myself so no one suffers. Yeah.
Well, remember we were talking the other day about how we all have a different assignment per se. So our assignment in it is not the same assignment than humanity.
Right.
So for, as Almin has said many times, a grain of sand, you know, a master cannot allow a grain of sand in their eye because it's a mountain.
Yes.
So for us, you know, all this, the things that we overlook, for whatever reason we may have, then those weaknesses, those things that we're not dealing with, they become our tyrants, they become our demons, and then something else would come from that.
Yeah.
But I wasn't judging humanity. I'm saying this is how they cope with addictions. I mean, I said also that addictions are, so in many cases, have saved people's lives. Mm-hmm. So they're doing the best they can with what they have.
Yeah.
So I just
pulled one of the divinity quest cards.
Mm-hmm.
So it's Clihusat Iraktu Sevet. In reverent appreciation of the details and with the timeless perspective of eternity, do we weave the luminous threads of a reality of deep peace? And thank you, Angel Gods. Wow. I feel that through all this that, you know, Almeen is going through, that we're all walking this journey with her, I feel it in my heart. It is going to be, you know, amazing and incredible and deep peace that will result, I don't know if result is the right word, but an outcome almost, you know, when we get the insights and the perceptions on this evolving moment, that it is going to lead to something more amazing and miraculous.
Magnificent.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, and when we don't have expectation that we let go of what it is that Almi needs to do or has to do, or she doesn't need to do anything, she just has to be, and we do what we are to be doing, and we let go of that dependency and the expectation and the agenda that we must listen to Almi's voice every day. And, you know, just letting go of all that we are used to, or everything that is in our comfort zone, and just conquering beyond our comfort zone every moment.
Yeah, and just, you know, looking like, just living your life in your divinity, you know, especially, you know, for anyone who's being called to the runes, you know, it's a big responsibility to take up the mantle, to live a life of harmlessness, and to usher in this new era of peace, deep peace and contentment, and, you know, returning to an adventurous journey that's fun. To be just fully aligned with infinite intent. And that really is the third ring magic, is being just that fully aligned every moment to the infinite intent. To the infinite's will, not our own.
Well, it's funny because you're saying that, and I feel the reality of it all is there's only one will.
Yeah.
And it becomes the infinite will when we are in complete surrender, when we have stopped the opposition.
Yes.
And I really, really have come to understand at a deeper level how thoughts arise in my head. Like, is the minute I go into that mode of opposition, then thoughts come to my head.
Oh, that's good. Yeah.
Yeah, and I can be floating in inner and outer space, and there is no thoughts. That's when I'm in full surrender.
Yeah.
That's when I'm floating in the calm waves of existence, like angel number 9 in Brahmish Ananu Belvaspata, the Belvaspata of the gods. So, you know, I just, okay, am I floating in the calm waves of existence, or am I really fighting the current here?
Yeah. So, and, you know, I think it's important, too, to remember that even when we are in that, as you say, the silent mind in full surrender with infinite intent, we are still contributing to the quality of the journey we're on. We still have, you know, we're still participating. It's not that we're just blindly following, you know, flowing through life.
It's not that we become sheeple, you mean?
Right, we're not sheeples.
I know you love that word.
I love that word. It says so much, that word. I love it.
We don't need to explain it. We don't need to put an asterisk and an explanation in small print at the bottom of the page. Yeah. We're not. We know you guys are brilliant.
Yes. So there's no sheeples here. But yeah, you know, we're still showing up and participating in the journey in our own unique way. We contribute, and we find what inspires us, even in the opposition. There's inspiration if we look
there's
for it.
There's inspiration, yeah. Totally. And this is the only place to live from.
Yeah,
inspired and. I mean, I am so inspired right now looking at this painting of in front of my bed. I just can't get enough of seeing the love and the dance between Renoir and his fiance. Oh, it is wonderful. You know, it's like my psyche has been imprinted in it such a lovely way. Thank you, Angel.
Oh, you're welcome. Did I ever tell you when Bryn, Jim's granddaughter, was very young and she's looking at that picture we had up and she's like, oh, Niecy, is that you and Grandpa Jim?
I can totally see that. God bless her heart.
I know. When she said it, it was like, oh my God, yeah, I could kind of see us in that, in the Renoir painting, but it's...
And you know what is like so significant for me is because I saw the original.
Oh, I know.
It's amazing. So this guy, and there's something about Renoir, when she passed to the spirit world, he was so crazy missing her that he was contacting mediums and contacting the other side to get messages from her, which I thought, wow, that's like kind of like out there for, I think it was beginning of the 19th century.
Yeah. Yeah.
So.
In Paris.
Who knows, Angel?
Yeah.
Anyway, that was a side note to inspiration. So how... You know, anything inspires us, and that's why it's important to surround ourselves with beautiful things that we feel they're beautiful to us. It's what brings us inspiration, what can really make us connect with a deeper layer of ourselves.
Yes. Yep. Well said.
Uh-huh. So this book of spells is very, very amazing. All the richness that it has, it can shift you in one minute as soon as you finish reading. But it is important that we cultivate the key ingredients for a successful spell, because the fairies are saying, if the spell doesn't work, don't blame the spell.
Yes.
Because we must have love, energy, and joy. when we do that.
Yeah, or like to activate the codes, it's fire, light, and love as well. Mm-hmm. I know. Honestly, I love this book. I love it. I love the pages and the colors. I love the writing. Like, it's just...
I heard that there are some people, I don't know if you heard this, but some of my students have told me that they cannot hold on to the book more than a couple of minutes because they just can't.
Really?
Or they have to have it, yeah, or they have to have it in another room, which I thought it was like, how insightful.
Is that because it's too powerful? Because it
yeah.
is a power object. Right.
Yeah, yes. Because it is too powerful.
Yeah.
And I don't know.
That's interesting,
Yeah, and I'm just saying this just in case anyone is feeling the same way. It's, you know, we are all exactly where we need to be,
mm-hmm.
and there's nothing to judge. Is
No, not at all, no.
So maybe some people are just getting used to the vibration of the book. If they haven't studied with Almin that closely,
yeah,
it might be a different thing. I'm not sure.
There's, you know, yeah, that's, it seems strange to me because I can't get enough of it, you know, like I just.
Honey, I think you came into the tunnel with your little book. Your pocket version.
Yeah, you think I did?
Yeah, I think you came with your pocket version of Book of Spells, aesthetically.
I have so much love, and love is not even the right word. I just feel so much reverence for this book, and for all the, you know, the amazing beings who contributed their magic, you know, for all the pictures in here, like everything. It's for me, this is like, it feels like such a privilege and an honor to hold it. That's what I feel with it. Like each page to me is like so special and a work of art that, you know, the sigils, I can feel Almin in each page. I don't know, it's probably a little crazy, but it's what I feel about it, you know? Like, I have so much gratitude for this book. I really do.
Yeah, it is an incredible gift of love.
Yes.
You know, and that's actually what Aruba Firina means, the book of fairy magic, Aruba Firina, the gift of love. I just love that.
Oh, me too. I love that. Yeah.
So there is also a recent posting on the Song of the 96 Stones of the Song of Healing, the Song of Inclusive Oneness, and it's talking about the runes. The runes of the field of perception of healing. So the what layer is that, the healing? Is that the fourth layer?
I think that's three.
Three, okay.
Three
or four.
I don't have...
And we're talking a lot about acceptance and about surrender, and this is the first tone. Inclusive acceptance of the value of all life through respectful and complete self-acceptance.
Mm.
Every acceptance stems out of the self-acceptance, right?
Yes.
So, inclusive, like acceptance of it all. Inclusive acceptance of the value of all life through respectful and complete self-acceptance.
Which... You know, really, what is healing? Healing is the recognition of wholeness. So that would be totally inclusive.
Mm-hmm. Inclusiveness.
Yeah.
Inclusiveness. You cannot heal in separation.
Right.
And this is one of the principles of Belvaspatai, healing.
Yes.
Healing in the oneness. When someone is before you, that person, that being before you, is already perfect. And in seeing the perfection and seeing that as an extension of you or part of you, that's when the miracles happen, not from the separation.
Yes.
And then there is another, so these are excerpts from actually the Book of Runes and the painting. There's a painting also posted. It's fluid structure. So I can't wait for this book. Did Rohir said in the last interview with Neil that the book might be ready sometime in March?
That's what they're hoping. I believe there's the two, the Book of Runes and the Book of No Time, or the Bridge of No, yeah, the Bridge of No Time. I think they're working on trying to get both of them out because they're interconnected, right? All three books are power objects that are interconnected. So, yeah, we're hoping, fingers crossed, they'll be out soon.
Yeah.
So
we have also another principle, and it says unconditionally embracing life with compassionate understanding.
Yeah, and we also have the principles for compassionate understanding, which I have to say I worked with quite a bit, and they really helped me shift big, I guess, areas that I had blocked perceptions. I really love those principles for divine compassionate understanding. Maybe we should
read them. You know, I have two other. I feel like, let's see if we have time maybe today. I do have some other points I want to go in. I have like five more points. And the next one, it says empathic and telepathic connectedness beyond the need for words.
I had a dream with Almeen recently.
Yes, you were telling me.
Oh,
yes.
Yeah. Thank you. That just came into my mind now when you read that point.
Empathic and telepathic connectedness beyond the need for words. Yeah, actually, that's was like my dream I had too. It was silent. It was just showing me things. About myself. Wow, this is like incredible. The next one, it says harmlessness. Oh, this is the word, Angel.
Mm-hmm.
This is the word that you're looking for to explain about the 12 meridians.
Harmlessness. Oh, yes. Thank you. So,
okay. You have it? Do you have it or you want me to read this principle?
Read the principle.
Harmlessness through knowing all beings to be yourself.
Wow. Thank you. Amin had said, when we clear the 12 meridians, it creates the 12 tones of harmlessness. That's what it creates within us.
Oh, thank you, Almeen, for bringing it back to us.
I knew
we were going to get it. Yay! Cheers to that.
Cheers to that. Yeah.
Wow. So it's talking harmlessness through knowing all beings to be yourself.
Yeah.
And I'm going to tie it with what you said about clearing the 12 meridians. So the 12 meridians hold 48 negative emotions.
Yeah.
That when we feel victimized because we're in separation consciousness, well, that's how they work together. But when we clear them, we create that harmlessness.
Yeah.
And he's talking about here that all beings are myself.
Right.
So there's nobody not hearing me. Nobody, like, you know, I'm just talking about, for example, the small intestine, yeah. the feeling abandoned, the feeling unheard.
Yes.
Only you doing it to yourself.
Right.
There's it's not fair. You know, why this is happening to me in the kidney meridian, the sense of loss, the sense of unfairness. So all of these things, we just come and embrace them, and we transcend, we clear them, we transcend, and we know it's only us. So that it's like we gather that harmlessness of nothing is being done to us, pretty much.
Right. We're just playing with ourselves.
Yes. The next one, it says wholeness through remembered oneness.
Mm.
So this is from the Book of Runes again. Wholeness through remembered oneness. Mm. Unity within boundless diversity.
Wow.
I'm feeling the song of the self, the Belva Stapel.
Yeah, definitely. I was feeling that too.
Appreciating the next one, the last one that is posted.
Yeah.
Appreciating the rich and varied pageantry of eternal life.
Mm.
Wow.
Wow. That is, yeah, that's love, praise, and gratitude.
And beyond.
Yeah.
And beyond.
Yeah. Well, I'm, you know, excited for the Book of Runes coming out, and I'm sure we'll be in love with that one.
Honey, I'm glad that we're having time for a honeymoon with the Book of Spells.
Yes, yes, me too. I'm happy to be embracing this. Yeah.
So totally amazing.
And I have to say that the painting that Armin has done for this, the fluid structure is incredible. It looks like there's I see a thunderbird in there in the painting. Do you see that? Like, it looks like diamonds, but I see in the center, I see a thunderbird.
Well, I tell you what I see. I see a diamond.
Yeah, I see the diamond. But then in the diamond, I see a thunderbird.
Okay, well, I see a pyramid and a whole city.
Yeah.
A whole new world in there. I don't see a thunderbird.
Yeah.
I'm glad that we're seeing the whole picture together.
Oh, the colors are gorgeous. I love it. I really do love it.
Of course.
Yeah.
Of course, the colors are like very much into the blue, which is like the dream I had about the blue, turquoise blue reality.
Yeah.
Who knows? But it's incredible. And I was just wondering if you wanted to go over the 8 principles of divine compassion.
Oh, I would love to, but I don't have them in front of me right now.
I have them directly in front of me.
Wonderful. So go ahead.
Number one, experience the rapture of the real, touching the real and timeless core of another. I hear Almin's voice when she read it to us on the cruise.
Yeah.
Number two, when you find another expression of the infinite, honor the alchemy of the meeting of two divine perspectives to create new possibilities and guard its sanctity from the pollution of worldly gains. Number three. Fearlessly enter into the vastness of one another, that you may be reminded of the sacredness that hides within form, each with your heart, so that they may not be overwhelmed. Enter with your heart so that they may not be overwhelmed. Wow, I think I have to read that again.
Mm-hmm.
Were you feeling that?
Yeah.
Fearlessly enter into the vastness of one another, that you may be reminded of the sacredness that hides within form. Enter with your heart so that they may not be overwhelmed. Number four, in humble awareness, explore in wonderment the ever new regeneration of the miracle of another, shaped by the ages, renewed by the moment. They are an incomparable work of art. Okay, I'm going to read that again. In humble awareness, explore in wonderment the ever new regeneration of the miracle of another, shaped by the ages, renewed by the moment. They are an incomparable work of art.
Oh, I love that.
Yes. Number five, engage with others where the inspiration of your heart leads you, but observe from the stillness of your inner sovereign throne, so that an eternal perspective may guide you in impersonal and infinite compassion. Engage with others where the inspiration of your heart leads you, but observe from the stillness of your sovereign throne, so that an eternal perspective may guide you in impersonal and infinite compassion. Number six. Be as content in your aloneness as you are in the company of others, for it is with others that you learn to find your peace by living from the eye of the storm. In aloneness are your inner conflicts stilled. I'm going to read that again. Be as content in your aloneness as you are in the company of others, for it is with others that you learn to find your peace by living from the eye of the storm. In aloneness are your inner conflicts stilled. Number seven. On whole bondage is the nature of most relationships of earthly love, since they're based on fulfilling one another's needs and shortcomings. The stability of such a relationship of divine compassion is based on the strength of knowing that our being is our sustenance. I'm going to read that again. On whole bondage is the nature of most relationships of earthly love, since they are based on fulfilling one another's needs and shortcomings. The stability of such a relationship of divine compassion is based on the strength of knowing that our being is our sustenance.
I just love those principles.
Wow, they are like rippling endlessly.
Yes.
And the last one, number eight, there is only one true relationship in existence, that of yourself with the source of your existence. All else is but an expression of the one being. The exclusive and need-based earthly love manifests as subatomic particles devoid of their perception component. These incomplete particles act like a pollutant, an intoxicant that disturbs the clarity of poise and poise of a master, preventing the intimate oneness with his or her source. This is the longest one, so I'm going to take time to read it again so that we may listen with every cell of our being. There is only one true relationship in existence, that of yourself with the source of your existence. All else is but an expression of the one being. The exclusive and need-based earthly love manifests as subatomic particles devoid of their perception component. These incomplete particles act like a pollutant, an intoxicant that disturbs the clarity and poise of a master, preventing the intimate oneness with his or her source.
Wow.
This feels such a complete scroll. I feel like I cannot even comment on it.
Yeah, there's a lot. A lot of levels, I feel, to these principles.
And by entering with the head, with our head, it's not going to give us the answers.
So I know, my love, you read 8 of them. There is actually 15, but I don't think we have time to read all of them anyways right now.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I know that them to be the 8 principles of divine compassion.
Yeah, there is, I believe there's 15.
Well,
they were on the I am? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they're on the I am presence.
Wonderful. So we may continue. Yeah, we shall continue the others. Maybe in our next show we shall continue.
Yeah, we can share the rest of them. So living divine compassion, and of course there's a gorgeous sigil that goes with it. And this is all part of the God magic.
Yes.
Yeah.
Totally.
And I believe one of the runes is universal language. So in the principles of divine compassion, it talks about divine compassion being a universal language. It's a language unspoken.
Yeah. I was going to say it feels like it ties in with...
Yeah.
With what we just read from the Book of Runes, the empathic and the telepathic.
Yes, through the heart, right? Because you
yeah.
talked about connecting heart to heart. So, yeah. And the sigil then activates the silent, the empathic, the telepathic language
mm-hmm.
in the mind, heart, and body. Isn't that amazing?
This is a rune, though.
No, this is from the principles of divine compassion.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but one of the runes.
Yeah, there is one
for you. It says universal language.
Yes, I can feel there's a rune
yeah.
for that.
Yeah.
Wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, if you want to get started into your mastery of the runes, you may want to start integrating the runes
yes.
from the book.
Yeah, because so. there's the first four sets in there, I believe. Maybe five. In Labyrinth of the Moon. Yeah, and that's, yeah, for the mastery, we incorporate those. And for anyone who has been on the I Am Presence, it is part of that too, like all the runes were shared on there, and Almeen goes into detail with them. So if you are being called to the runes to be the master, grandmaster of the runes, it's a good place to start to integrate, either through the I Am Presence or the Labyrinth of the Moon.
Mm-hmm. Wonderful.
Yes.
So yeah, some more information will follow on the book, and maybe we'll also get more updates on Almeen's health, which is luminous, as we all read that she's luminous and improving and stepping into the miracle of life.
Yeah.
So thank you so much, Angel, for making this wonderful show and possible, and for sharing your pure, beautiful heart.
And you too, my love. Thank you. Thank you for these wonderful principles and everything that you bring. We're very, very grateful. And our beloved Almeen, we hold you in our heart and we love you. And to all our listeners, thank you. We'll be back next week.
We'll be back next week. Thank you so much, and have a blessed, blissful week. Good night.
Good night.